This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
So I'm Heather. My job at the Candy Factory is to write health curriculum for a nonprofit health education center in New York. So I fortunately don't have to commute, which is nice.
That's great.
And I write curriculum for K through 12th grade on all topics related to health.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
As a health professional, these crazy times must be even crazier for you, I would imagine. This is our second coronavirus virtual episode, so we are recording this now virtually because of the health crisis we're all dealing with and social distancing and staying out of public spaces. So we're really grateful to have you on the program. Thank you for taking time out of what I know is a very busy schedule right now.
Of course.
Dealing with that chaos and madness. Diggs, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, you too.
So we are virtual. We are using Zoom for this. A little shout out to them. No product placement. I'm not actually getting an affiliate kickback.
We gotta work on that.
Zoom is, you're absolutely right. But Zoom is hot right now.
Yes. Like,
there's so many Zooms flying around.
Yes.
Those guys must be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
If you're new to the program, we are going to be presented with five random topics from our iPad. His name is Frank. Frank is going to present them to us, count down 5 minutes, and then we're going to hear a little bit of music, and we're going to move on to the next topic. So if you guys feel good and are comfortable, I'm going to go ahead and ask Frank to present our first topic.
Okay.
Here we go. Episode 20 of 5x5. Our first topic is shopping malls.
I hope they're empty right now.
They should be.
Yeah, shopping malls. So they're interesting to me because we have seen this decline, right, of shopping malls across the country over the past, say, what, 20 years, maybe 15, like this slow, gradual decline.
Yeah.
Way more so in the last, accelerated, right, in the last 5-10 years with online shopping. People becoming very comfortable with that. And, you know, I think up until now with the coronavirus outbreak, like, I think we're going to definitely see a big shift in even how those types of things are. People coming together and being in a big space like that. But so that I can't even, right? We can't even speak to that.
Yeah.
No.
But just even the decline of shopping malls in general, I have found to be a very just fascinating thing. Like, because I was, you know, they really became a big deal in the like 70s when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And going to the mall for us was like huge. It was like this big, big deal. And so it's just been kind of a weird, bittersweet, gradual transition of shopping malls across this country, and these big cement block buildings just kind of hanging out there like monoliths. Where are you at with shopping malls, Heather?
Well, I agree with you, that whole social scene. And I'm wondering if today's teens, I have one currently living in my home, I'm wondering if that will continue to be a social scene. I think it has continued to up until this point, I don't know, he's not quite there yet. But for me personally, I remember it being a social scene. But as time's gone by, I've kind of grappled more with that local, shop small, shop from your bed on Amazon.
Right.
Given the state of affairs where we are today, it's kind of a two-pronged part here, right? We ordered a piece of sports equipment yesterday from the couch through Dick's. They text you when it's ready. You pull up, pop it in your car, and you go. So there's a whole new element. Are we going to avoid, hey, Jason, hey, Diggs, as we walk down the mall and just do it from the comforts of our home, but then try to be cognizant of small business?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's – It's interesting because we in this country we have sort of gone from the 1970s and 80s shopping mall, interior shopping mall, to this outdoor sort of walkable shopping mall plaza kind of thing. And now what, right? Is it that? Or are they going to be distribution centers more so?
Impressive.
I don't know. Diggs, did you hang out at the mall when you were like middle school or whatever?
Not really. I mean, we would go, but it wasn't, I never really went with friends. It was more like we had stuff to get. So that's why we were going. The closest indoor mall for me, was probably about 40 minutes drive, like bus ride away.
Okay.
So it was you planned to go there. It wasn't just something that, like, that you could just pick up and do. However, there is an outdoor mall, in downtown Brooklyn that they converted, I think in my mom's childhood, from like a brownstone lined street to like the shops being along it. Like there's been a Macy's down there for a long time, or, whatever the Macy's, it wasn't a Macy's. It was some other type of department store that then became a Macy's.
That kind of store. Yeah.
Yeah. But then they then took the rest of the front, the store or what were homes, I believe, and then turned them into shops like around that Macy's. So that's actually where I spent most of my time, but I wasn't used to the indoor mall, thing until really high school, when that was like the only place you could get your clothes really nearby. So wasn't big hangout spot for me. It was a movie theater spot for me. There was a movie theater in that mall that we would go to. So that was, it was sort of the main movie theater that my mom and I would go to until they opened one up in downtown Brooklyn.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really a suburban thing. You know what I mean? Like, I imagine your experience would be very different from living in the big city versus the suburban kind of experience of going to the mall, this sort of central spot. I mean, we hung out there as teenagers, and Heather, I think you were alluding to that as well. Like, it was a great place to congregate. You could sort, even when you were a young teenager, like that middle school, 12, 13, 14, you could get kind of dropped off and it was considered kind of a safe spot to go hang out with your friends and raise what you thought was raising hell, but of course it wasn't. You know,
right.
You versus the mall cop, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, and I'm from New Jersey, so growing up there as a kid, the question of which mall do you go to?
Wait, we're in Jersey, real quick.
Union County, Berkeley Heights.
Gotcha.
Well, we're going from New Jersey all the way to topic number two of this episode's 5x5, which is, what is number one on your bucket list?
Ooh. Oh,
holy shit.
My goodness.
Can we pause this for 3 or 4 years while I sort this out? Oh my God.
Number one on bucket list. Well, what's...
All right, I'm going to go while you think, because okay. I do have something on my bucket list. I don't really have a bucket list. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I don't have this sort of like little notepad where I'm writing this shit down, but I do have something on my bucket list that is definitely there. And that is to write and perform 10 minutes of stand-up comedy.
Ah. I'll come.
I'm terrified of this idea of standing in front of a group of people. Now, granted, I've been a musician my whole life and a public speaker. I've spoken at conferences, you know, national conferences and small seminars. I've taught classes. I've always been in front of people. But the idea of standing in front of an audience with nothing but a microphone and my voice, with the expect... Here's why I'm terrified. Because there was a known expectation when you walk into that scenario that the purpose for me to be there is to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like a musician where I could be a funny musician, or I could be a sad musician, or a serious musician, or a classical. Like, if you walked in and I had a guitar, I could do all of those things in the next 20 minutes and it's okay.
You just answered your own fear. Just have your guitar with you.
No,
yes.
I gotta do no. Stand up.
No. There are
we're moving on from this. What's your bucket list?
You consider yourself a funny person?
I think I'm funny enough that I could write stand up. I mean, I don't think I'm a, you know, I mean, I might be a comedic genius, you know, but I don't know. It could be
like an Adam Sandler, Jack Black kind of comedic musician. Ah.
Yeah, see?
No. But you guys are missing the fucking point.
No, we're not.
And that is my bucket list. It's my bucket list.
All right, fine.
My bucket list says I've got to do hardcore, straight up, no props comedy.
All right.
10 minutes.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Wow.
Your turn.
I'm still thinking. I think one thing I want to do, if this is still a thing, I'd love to do like a hot lap on like just insert a track, probably like a driving hot lap. You know, those like experience days that rich people do where they plunk down a couple thousand and then get to drive like insert stupidly fast car. Like,
oh, you mean like a race car, like a NASCAR thing or something?
Yeah, no, not NASCAR. No, like you get like the like Ferrari and Porsche and those like high end like car manufacturers. I mean, maybe not Porsche, but the ones that are even crazier than them. Literally, you just pay a couple thousand of whatever the currency is, and you show up and you drive their cars around whatever this track is. You know, for like an afternoon, you get taught how to do it properly and how to avoid like, you know, killing
dying.
Yourself. Yeah. and then you get to do it. I think it probably depends on what the package is, but I know you get to at least do a lap where you are the driver and, you know, the coach, right, teacher person is next to you.
All right.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming. So
that's true. That's true. But
it might be something in your special in your stocking there, Diggs.
I'll take
Heather,
it.
There go. Bucket list.
So I'm like you, Jason. I don't have a documented bucket list, but I'm going to go off the cuff here with just one, maybe two thoughts. My first one is always travel. And right now I'm Italian, so Italy would be my first stop. Just not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go back into the Corona talk, I'm going to go with a bucket list number two that, you know, Diggs, money is in your way to do yours, right? Couple of grand you have to drop. Jason, fear. Mine is talent. I have no talent in this bucket list category, but I would love to be you with the guitar and the voice.
Just
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh my gosh. I love music. And if I could just be up there once, I'm not a karaoke girl because I don't have the voice and I'm scared. I'm nervous. But I would love to perform. Not crazy.
Isn't it interesting how the things that you like, for me to sing a song with a guitar is just, I've just always done it. And yet for someone else that's something that would be such, you know what I mean? Like I just find that so fascinating how these different little things that we do, it's a big deal. Like I said, I mean, for me, the comedy thing, right? It's just interesting how that works.
Yeah.
I'll have to show you a few chords. All you need is a few chords.
Well, I taught myself a little bit. I did it, but I'm not going on stage.
No,
not yet.
There's still time. There's still time. Topic number three for this episode 5x5. Pizza.
Yes.
Good one.
There were some happy dances going on. So who start? Diggs, go.
Oh my goodness. Where do I start? I mean, first off, Chicago pizza is not pizza. That's a tomato pie. Jeez, what other shots can I fire? No, I'll stop. But
you from New York?
You're from New York.
But that's the only, honestly, the only one I get sick of is the Chicago one, like the deep dish. That's just, it's honestly, it's a tomato pie. That's not pizza.
It's a very different pie, animal.
Yeah, I mean, to us, to everyone else, but to them, it's deep dish. So I'll tell a quick story. So the pizza shop I grew up with on my block. Just happens to have a sister shop in Tamaqua, PA. And I go through Tamaqua most summers to go to a friend's family's 4th of July celebration. And I had completely forgotten about this pizza shop being, I didn't know where, I knew it was in PA somewhere. I didn't know where it was. I was going through Tamaqua, I think the second time I was heading up there, saw this pizza shop that's had the same names, also called Luigi's. I'm like, oh, pizza shop named Luigi's. But honestly, I was like, well, you know, there aren't that many Italian sounding names for a pizza shop. I'll let it go. So I walk in, and then the guy that was back there, he saw me before I saw him, just yelled out anchovies, which is a joke from when I was a kid at the pizza shop in Brooklyn, where we accidentally were given a box of anchovy pizzas. And when I went back to turn it in, or to swap out the right pizza, it just became a joke. So every time I walk by as a kid, even now, the folks are in there that know the story, they'll yell out, anchovies! so yeah, that's now, why'd I bring this story up? The pizza is almost the same between New York and Tamaqua, but the crust is what's different. And I think that's where the water comes in with the dough.
I was going to say, do you think it's the water?
Yeah, he swears it's the water. So it's
so you walk into this pizza shop and having no clue that it's the same.
I had no idea.
And that guy yells out anchovies.
Yep. And that's so I instantly knew it had to be the guy, because there's no way. Who would know that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So it was great.
Heather, do you like pizza?
I love pizza.
I could tell by the way you were dancing.
And you guys made pizza the other day. I need to get the recipe, but I love pizza.
All pizza or just some pizza?
Most pizza.
Because, yeah. You know, Diggs is right. There are certain pizzas that aren't pizza.
I think some are frozen, and they say they're made by... Yeah.
I don't know what it was like at your school cafeteria, but when I was in school, what they called pizza was really like this weird, thick, like almost like a spongy, crusty kind of thing. It just wasn't.
Rectangular?
Rectangular pizza things was not the same as if you went down to, you know, it was called Enzo's in my little town, the little Italian pizza joint. It was just wasn't the same. It was like a different food.
Mm.
It was like a completely, it's sort of like what you're saying with Chicago. It might have crust and sauce and cheese, but it's just a different thing.
Yeah.
Jason, is it what you would get in the frozen food department?
Sort of.
Called Elio's or Elio's, however you want to pronounce it.
But pizza was like its own thing.
Yeah, it was worse.
Like, that was just kind of its own
thing. That's like a trademarked pizza made for the schools.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There was some company was making that shit.
Yeah, they gotta have the contracts for like all the school districts in like the entire country, because I feel like everybody has had that pizza.
That crappy school pizza. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Heather, do you like fancy pizza?
I like it all. I mean, and don't be fooled. If my kids want Elio's and I put it in the oven, I'm gonna eat it. But I do prefer real pizza, which consists of dough with crust, and then anything on top. Truly, I mean, I like it fancy. I like it with just plain cheese and sauce, anything goes, but I'm not a huge pizza snob. I'll eat it just about anywhere, and sometimes you just, it's better than others. I even like Domino's thin crust.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
You know what? I don't hate it. I definitely prefer Domino's over Pizza Hut if I had to pick between the two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pizza Hut's never been my thing. Mm-hmm. But if you had to pick a topping, what would it be?
Just one.
The cheese doesn't count. Cheese is on all of it. So
red sauce, cheese, and then throw something on top of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I live by Rosa.
Mm.
Yeah.
They put this is two because it comes on the Rosa special, but sauteed eggplant and red pepper.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I had to move my face away from this microphone so you could see the look on my face.
Oh, good.
It's a sauteed eggplant and peppers.
Roasted red peppers.
Oh, that sounds good.
Amazing.
Rosa special.
Mm. If I could only pick one, I'd do mushrooms.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, you can keep that.
That was for you, Diggs.
Yep. Pepperoni. Pepperoni for me. I hate mushrooms, for the record. That's why.
I actually would do mushrooms, even though, I mean, I didn't really just do that because you hate mushrooms.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, moving on. Topic number four, let's get a ride to Uber. Let's get a ride with Uber. Thank you.
Yes.
Uber.
There are probably places called Uber you could go to in an Uber.
Probably could, yeah.
So I used to drive for Uber, actually.
Did you really?
I did.
No, wait a minute. I think I knew that.
I think this might have come up in a previous episode or just a conversation we've had, because we used to hang out a lot, not right now, you know, for social distancing reasons. But yeah, I drove for Uber about a year and change. It started because I started in the in the whatever winter it was. I don't remember the year exactly. Mostly because I was realizing that I was spending a lot of money at the Fridge, which is a pizza shop and bar or beer takeout place here in Lancaster, if you're not from the area. But yeah, the Fridge is a block and not even a full block away from me. So I was there all the time, and I was starting to notice the impact on my wallet, and realized, oh, I've got this car and there's this app. I could make money instead of spending money. I'll do that. So yeah, it actually helped me learn a lot of the back roads in the area. Like having to figure out detours around like 230 instead of 283. Didn't realize that was a good option if 283 is backed up. The 441 loop up the river. Yeah. I learned so much.
Was it a good experience?
Yeah. And convenient? Could you pop in and out of work?
Yeah, it was just when I, my 9 to 5, we were still two people at the time. And so I would just check with my boss at that point. It was like, hey, if it comes to like 4 o'clock, it's like, hey, are we good? Is there anything else that I need to do right now? Usually there wasn't, because we would get a lot of stuff done. We're pretty efficient. Just as soon as I was done, I turned on the app and just get in the car. And once I got to know where the sort of hot spots were, I'd go up to Harrisburg Airport and just wait for flights to come in. You can check the flight status when our flight's coming in and just head up there and stuff like that. Yeah, it was convenient. It was easy. Only had one major issue when a group of people spilled a beverage I didn't know that they'd brought in the car with them, and a solo cup. I'm not sure how I missed the solo cup, but I did somehow. And then they proceeded to spill their terrible mixed drink on the back of my car. But I reported it, and Uber sent me money within 15 minutes. I think it was like
wow,
50, 60 bucks to get it cleaned. Yeah, it was.
I don't know those ins and outs. That's really interesting.
Sorry, go ahead.
Can we talk about the drivers and digs? Did you do this? That stock their mobile? I mean, after Corona, I don't know that we'll be touching these items, or did we before, but they've got candies and waters and lights.
Mm-hmm. My car did not, at this time I had a Subaru Impreza, so it was very difficult for me to stock anything anywhere. I needed the space.
I need a minivan set up for this.
Yeah, Jason, you should get in on this.
I'm telling you what, I got that fancy Nissan Quest, got the doors that I can open automatically.
You can line them up with the basket.
Oh, I'm telling you, like party mobile, but I wouldn't want those people in my car. when I was in New Orleans, I usually Lyft, you know what I mean? Like the Lyft instead of Uber. I don't know. For some reason, it's in my head that they treat people better or something. I don't even know if that's true. But I just remember hearing stories when I first started doing this stuff a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I, for some reason, Lyft is the app that's on my phone, and that's the one that I always just kind of end up using by default. But I think it's the same thing, right? It's like Coke and Pepsi, tomato, tomato.
Yeah, Lyft sometimes.
Did you do both?
No, I only did Uber. Uber was easier to become the process at the time was slightly easier. Not less stringent. It was just like they had a bigger infrastructure, so the checks went faster. So I applied and was able to drive within 2 days.
Yeah, that's cool.
And for my business travel, I still do Uber because Uber was first to split between personal and business.
Ah, right.
Lyft does it now too, but I didn't feel like trying to keep track of two different apps for that stuff. So I just stayed with Uber.
But I remember in New Orleans there being a. That's the first time I think I experienced the whole like snacks. and you know what I mean? And they had it all decked out.
Yeah.
Right? It was like they would seem to be really competing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There was no way to know before getting in the car.
Snacks, yeah.
Well, like, they can put it. Now they can say, I will have this, this, and this. And If they so choose.
Right, but that would be an attractive thing.
I agree.
But I don't know. The whole thing's just kind of it is kind of interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Going forward in
big
our time.
Time.
So
big
much
time.
Is going to change.
So much.
Just like the topics for 5x5, we're changing to topic number 5. which is, what's your computer, phone, tablet background, and why?
What does that mean?
What is the background?
Okay. Yeah, like your what's on your desktop? What's your desktop image, and why? Because I can tell you for mine, it's going to be interesting to try to share this with you over Zoom. But if you can see that, mine is actually my hand holding an electric, one of those electric ball things.
Very interesting. So Diggs is showing his phone, and we are looking at his phone, and it has this picture. It looks like it's shining like neon purple or something.
Yep. So this is what it looks like if you are in a dark room, and then you do you hold the ball, and then take a picture through the top of the that electric ball.
What's the purpose of the electric ball other than making your hand look like that?
Oh, it's just one of those stupid tchotchke things, like the lava lamp and the
visuals.
Yeah, it's a visual thing, but it's cool because then you can like see how it interacts with you, because you know we all conduct electricity. So that's why. Oh, sorry, I should have made that clear.
It's just stuff to do when you're smoking dope. That's what he's talking about. It's
smoke a little weed
and pull out my little electric ball.
I might have been imbibing beverages, but that was in college. That was an age-appropriate year in college.
I see.
That picture is from college.
Yeah.
Told you, Jason. You're fresh.
I am so boring when it comes to backgrounds on Electra. It's all the stock stuff. That's why I didn't even read the question right. It said, "What's your computer, phone, tablet background?" I thought you meant my experience. I was like, I know how to use a computer.
Oh,
I have a background in computers.
Well, we can talk about that.
I have the actual like Mac stock image on all of my stuff. Like whatever the hell it comes with.
Even your phone?
I've never changed. I never changed it.
I feel like you're too artsy for that.
Yeah.
Need something more out of you.
Well, this might not be it's grass. I think it's just one of the stock ones. I don't think it's the actual default one that came with it, but someone must have done that. I'm a very pragmatic electronics user. I'm artsy. Thank you for that. I'm going to take that as a compliment. But I'm not artsy in that way.
Okay.
My electronic devices, I keep them very pragmatic.
Gotcha.
It's just whatever the thing is. How about you, Heather? What do you got?
Well, this was done for me. When you have children, you know, they'll often, my daughter got in. See that? It's hard to tell. What you're looking at is her and her one-eyed cat that she's very proud of.
That's cute.
You can't tell that he has one eye because he's sleeping, but it's just her and him.
How old is she?
Lying together. She is 10.
Oh, yeah. They're totally hijacking your electronics at that age. Yeah. That's a sweet spot.
Yeah, because guess what? You would think all I own is a child and a cat, but I actually have a son, too. She gives him no credit on this device. But
that's like part of their mission.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but you could have like the two images, because like when you actually get into my phone, it's this. And that's a picture from Brussels, actually. I was there. I don't remember when. This is maybe 5-6 years ago, and you can't see this through the. But there's this woman that's way down there, and I just loved the contrast between the trees and her. So I just randomly took the picture, and it's been my like. I guess this is the home screen image, and then the other one is like your lock screen image.
Hijacked by said child.
Look at that.
Both screens.
I remember when my one daughter was that age, she went in and changed her name. She would change her name in my stuff to say how great she was. like it would be like, Jaina is the best, would be her. So then when she would text me or whatever, it would come up, Jaina is the best. It's like that kind of stuff. Aww,
creative one.
They would just go in and mess with me. I was a grown up at this point, but I got to tell you what I did to my mom. When digital cameras became a thing, point and shoot digital cameras, You know, and it was like a big deal because you didn't have to pay to have shit developed. You know, you can just take maybe. I would take my mom's point and shoot digital camera, and I would shoot close ups of like my ears. It's just these goofy, really goofy like close ups of like my of the inside of my mouth and stuff.
Notice he said this is when I was a grown up.
Right. Oh yeah, like I was like 35 years old doing this shit. I wasn't like a 10-year-old. You know what I mean? And
what are you today? What are you called today?
Now I'm a grown up because I'm actually almost a senior.
Grown up pukes.
Frankly, I'm a seasoned citizen. But seriously, my mom, then she would download the pictures because it would be when she would come to visit, you know, and the kids were babies, and she would be like, she'd take like all these pictures of the kids, and I would just go put like 100 pictures of like my nose.
Oh my God.
Because then she would download the pictures and be like, what the hell is this? It was so fun.
Did you ever fess up?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay. I would say, hey, how'd your pictures come out there, Mom? That is the fastest 25 minutes in podcasting.
It was fast.
Zing.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it's over?
Yeah, no.
Diggs, we need to consider 7x5.
Yeah, I think we do.
Or 7x7.
The extended edition in the time of coronavirus.
Or 12x12.
Nah, that's too much.
It's infinite.
Ends as soon as you get rolling.
Yep.
And that's it. We have to move on. Heather, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
I'm sorry that we weren't able to, for the listening audience, we were originally going to record live in front of a studio audience.
Yeah.
With Heather, and that has to be postponed. We'll circle back around to that. That's going to be fun.
Maybe I'll sit and play the guitar.
That would be,
there we go.
Will I have to do stand up?
Yes. And you, Diggs, you have to come in a fancy car. Actually, pick us up. Be our driver.
I like it.
Snacks.
Yes.
Goofballs in cars getting coffee with Diggs. That's right. We'll just be the three of us driving around in your fancy ass car.
Perfect.
All right. That's it. 5x5. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory,
a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
Editing and additional production
provided by Anna Tran.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes
can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
CoworkingInLancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.